And I said this represented what? Somebody tell me what this represented. Our what? Our love tank. As I said, that we all have an emotional, if you want to call it, love tank. And the problem is, if it's not filled, just like with our vehicle, what happens? What happens to us if we don't have our love tank filled? Somebody tell me this morning. It goes empty. And then we feel like we're completely depleted. You will just give up. You will have depression that will start to set in. And so we need to start filling this love tank, so to speak, with the five love languages. And as I've said every week, that if you don't know your spouse's love language and you're trying to communicate to them and tell them, I love you, by doing one of these different five, and they don't speak that language, then they're not going to understand that you're trying to tell them that you love them. And as I've also said over and over again, I believe this is a very effective tool. Gary Chapman came up with this in his book, The Five Love Languages, as we've talked about. And while I said that it's not a perfect book, it's not an inspired book, I do believe in the five love languages. And as we've gone through them, and this will be our fifth and last one today, you can see that each one of these love languages is biblical. Each one of them is something that God does for us, that Jesus showed people, and that we are called to do. So as I've said, again, once over and over again, that these aren't just for this person has this love language, and so my spouse has acts of service, and so that's the one love language I'm focusing on. No, each one of these love languages of the five, we need to be showing other people on a continual basis because they are biblical. So we've covered these five love languages, and the first one is words of affirmation, second one, quality time, third one, receiving gifts, fourth one, acts of service last week. And so then we're going to go on to our fifth one, and that is physical touch. And so this week, we're not going to really have one verse. We're going to have different verses, variety of them. But when it comes to physical touch, I want to kind of give this warning as we start out. Everything that we will talk about today will increase your exposure to cooties, okay? I just want you to know that right now before we start out. Do kids really, do they talk about cooties anymore? Do you remember that? Was that something that just back in the day that, you know, you had like the boys and the girls were always like, ew, don't let the boy touch you, they have cooties. I never knew exactly what cooties were, but I figured that, you know, the girls were probably right. We did probably have some kind of cooties, you know. I don't know what cooties are, what they look like for sure. I actually try to even look it up this week because I'm really into the etymology of words and phrases, and so nobody really knows where cooties came from. It was probably from World War I when the soldiers came back. Lice, they would call them in the European language, cuda, which then probably then turned into cooties, which was lice. But actually, cooties doesn't have anything to do with body louse or, you know, anything like that. It's just something that kids have came up with cooties. Remember when they had like the cooties game back in the day? I tried to find that for the grandkids, and some of you were like, what? It was a game, and you rolled the dice, and you got the body and legs and head and everything, and you built this little cootie. And that was way before the internet or anything like that, you know. But anyway, I love that game, that cooties game. But yeah, you would get cooties, and there was a vaccination for it. Do you remember that the girls did? So we had one girl that crossed over, you know, the barrier to the boys, and she had the vaccination. It was circle, circle, dot, dot. You've been vaccinated from the cootie shot or whatever it was or something like that, I remember. So there is a vaccination. I'm sure Pfizer's came out with it. They're probably going to make billions now from it. But cooties, you can get them from today, what we're going to talk about, because what is physical touch? Physical touch, by definition, is really any gentle and loving touch. And I'm focusing on gentle and loving touch. And I would say this is one of the harder languages for somebody to admit that they need. And we're going to talk about this today because of our world and society and what we've done with physical touch. We've just completely distorted it. And so when people are needing that, sometimes they feel guilty that there are people that have this love languages, because as I've said, with each one of these love languages that we've talked about, if you can just get this in your mind, there's many dialects, right? Because just like with acts of service last week, there are many dialects underneath of that love language that you may think of, you know, acts of service of my spouse or my loved one, you know, vacuuming out my vehicle. And, you know, then your spouse thinks, well, the way that I'm going to show them that I love them is I'm going to weed their garden. And so they don't understand that you're trying to speak, you know, to them and say, I love you by weeding the garden, because they look at that and go, that's not the dialect that I speak. It's actually vacuuming out my vehicle. I know that you love me when you do this act of service. And it's the same thing here that we're talking about today with this physical touch. This is why this gets confusing, because it can be so many different dialects. Because the loving power of it can be holding hands, it can be a hug, it can be a kiss, it can be a handshake, it can be a hand on the shoulder or back. And then I realize this gets kind of confusing for women, but it can be a guy punch or pat. So all of those things can be that love language. And so this is why sometimes it gets kind of hard to talk about this area, because physical intimacy in a marriage is part of this love language also. But it's more than just that part of the physical touch. It's more than just the sexual touch. And as I've said before, this gets kind of confusing because many, and I will put men in this category, they assume that physical touch is their primary love language. When they go through the test, I mentioned this, and they go and they answer the questions because they'll say, physical intimacy, or, you know, physical touch is my love language. Well, it's because they're interpreting those questions through that test as in the sexual arena, and it's not. I will say to guys most of the time when they come up with that, it's probably the second one on the list. That's probably your actual love language, not the first one. But the question is then, you know, how do you know? And I will ask this a lot of times. Does your spouse enjoy cuddling and kissing and holding hands as much as other marriage relationship? And they will say, no, they're not really that person. They're really not a hugger. And so it's probably pointing that's not their love language. It's not likely that if their love language is not physical touch, if they're not into physical touch. But there are other people that, in guys that I know, that is their love language. There's one guy that was in our church before, and he is a big, burly man. He reminds me, if you remember the TV show from the late 70s, Grizzly Adams, do you remember that? And I'm like dating myself with all my illustrations anymore, but Grizzly Adams, it was the actor that played this guy, and he was a big burly guy with a big beard and kind of long flowing hair. And this is what I think of when I think of Don, but he is a guy that's his love language is physical touch. And you know that because he is like that with everybody. This big burly guy, you know, he's going around and he's giving everybody hugs. He loves to just give people hugs and pat them and touch them all the time. And here he looks like this rough guy. And so when we went through this and he found out that was his love language, I said, absolutely, that is your love language, physical touch. Everybody knows that. And so that's how that he shows that. And physical touch, people, you know, appreciate all kinds of touches. They're just that way. So that kind of proved, you know, that is your love language. So it's not just in the marriage relationship in that. But there's some confusion about physical touch because, unfortunately, some have been, and I will say, harmed or abused in the past, or maybe that's happening even right now, by physical touch. And they have an unhealthy feeling connected with physical touch, unfortunately. That is why in our world today, this language is so difficult, because you've had these people that have had this perpetrated on them in the past, or maybe they still are. And if past physical touch was because of abuse, it can be difficult to interpret present touch in any other way. So you will see that in a marriage relationship. And there are people that, especially women, that we have found that is their love language, physical touch. But because of some past abuse that has happened, that they have a hard time thinking, you know, this is how somebody is showing that they love me by doing this, by touching me this way. So that's why it gets very difficult. It creates feelings of being uncomfortable, uneasy, or even anger. And sometimes leaves hurt because of it's emotional. And it's tough emotional to deal with this stuff that's happened in the past. So you've got that harm that's happened. The other thing that makes it very confusing, and I've talked about this before, is our culture has perverted the legitimate need for physical touch. I hate that that has happened so bad because, as I mentioned weeks ago, that we would have kids that came to our kids club on Wednesday night. We'd have 60, 80 kids. We used to have 100 kids that would come down, and most of them, I would say 98% of them, were not church kids. They came from some very unhealthy homes. They came down there, and these little kids, we had them from preschool to sixth grade, they were just needing to be loved. They want to be, you know, patted on the back. They want to give you hugs, and I mean, they'll wait in line to give you hugs at the end of the night because they need that in their life. And so where it gets to be kind of delicate in dealing with that is that these are kids that you don't know, and they don't know, they're innocent. And in our world and society today, you just have to be careful with that. You know, I was speaking to a dad, this was years ago, and I said, you know, you're sure welcome to bring your young kids down to Adventure Club. And he said, nah, I'm not looking to get my kids molested. And that never had happened or any allegations with our church or anything. But in his mind, that is what he first went to, that the church is connected on with molestation, because he came from, unfortunately, a Catholic background. And there are those situations. And he went on to tell me that there was something that his siblings were involved with that in the church years prior. And so to him, church equated that you might get your kids, you know, unfortunately put in a position where this would happen. So it's an important physical need that people have. And that is why that I believe that the enemy has distorted it. Because it is so powerful when you're giving a little kid a hug that the enemy has worked in different ways with people that have been in authority in schools and churches and so on and so forth that have abused kids, that now people are very fearful of that. And the people that are on the other side of that, like myself, that know that you need to be giving this child a hug at this point, you feel like you can't because of our society or what somebody might think or say or what that kid might interpret it in different ways or what they might tell somebody else that you did. And so it gets very confusing that way. And God created physical touch to be a loving way to communicate to another person. He did. And we need that so much. So there's people that have been harmed. That makes it confused. There's people that feel like that's been so perverted. And we know in our culture that they feel like that they can't touch other people. And then it gets confusing because for some, it's just not our love language at all. Because as I said, with my own family, that you didn't grow up in a family where people touched each other. I mentioned before that in my whole entire life, I never saw, not one time, I've thought about this over the years, I never saw my grandfather one time give my grandmother a hug. Never one time. Or touch her in any way. Just never, not one time. And so I grew up in this family that we just, you know, nobody gave hugs or anything. My grandmother tried to give my brother and I hugs, but we were just like such wild animals. It was like trying to, you know, hug a rabid coon all the time, you know, or it was, and she would tell us at times, come over here and give me a hug. And we'd go over there and stand and we would just be like, and she would try to give us a hug. It's like a porcupine family for some people. You ever try to hug a porcupine? That's not going to be fun. And that is the way that it is. And so for me, physical touch is very difficult. It's something that I have as like a mental block because the way that my grandfather was, I thought and understood as a child that physical touch is something that is actually wrong. I really just started to believe that because I told you that one time I tried to give him a hug and he turned me away and said, what is the matter with you? And I was only probably 5 years old, but I can remember that. And so something snapped in my brain or was wired to believe that physical touch is just wrong. And so then when you have somebody who has, you know, a spouse that their love language is physical touch and you've been raised this way, how difficult is that? But just take the love language part out of it. Just being around another human being. Having grandkids, having kids, having a spouse, and you have been raised this way. Because as I said, that it may not be their love language, but everybody wants to be physically touched and loved. Because there's so much power in physical touch. And God has wired humans for it. He has made us for this reason. Because, of course, we have five senses. You got sight, you got hearing, taste, smell, and touch. And of these five senses, touch is very different from the rest. Because sight is through our eyes, of course. Hearing is through our ears. Taste is through our tongue. But touch is not limited to our fingers. That is our whole entire body. And, of course, I'm no doctor, but the way I'm going to try to briefly explain it there is that we have these tiny receptors all over our bodies. And when these receptors are touched or pressed, nerves carry impulse to the brain, and the brain interprets these impulses. And it can be either pain or pleasure. It can be hot or cold, hard or soft, or even loving or not loving. So our bodies are made to feel love through physical touch. It's the way He's designed us. Because everyone knows that physical touch is a powerful way of communicating the emotion of love. I found this picture up here, and even with an animal, this child is with this small kitten here, and the kitten even is receiving love by some child that is showing it physical touch, by petting it, by loving it, by holding it. And of course, it happens with animals, it happens with human beings. That if you have a baby and is born, Kaylin just had our grandson here last week. He's a week old today, and he's a week old. But from the moment he was born, he needed to be held and loved. He needed that. Because that's the way that God has created us. Even from, you know, a very young age, children need it. It's crucial in their life. They have to understand that they are loved, and this comes by physical touch. There's hundreds of research projects in the area of child development, and they have came to the conclusion, probably using our taxpayer money, that it's no surprise that babies who are held, hugged, and kissed develop a healthier physical and emotional life than those that are left for long periods of time without physical contact. And we all instinctively know that is true. So, as I said before, this is why this love language isn't just for people that say, you know, my love language is physical touch. It's for everybody. It's interesting that wise parents in any culture are touching parents. If you know the story of Jesus, and Jesus is out and he's speaking to the crowd, and there are children that are brought to him. These parents brought their children to Jesus to have him touch them. And Jesus took them in his arm and he blessed these children. He actually rebuked those that were trying to hold the children back. Because in the culture of the day, that Jesus was the teacher and he was, you know, in their mind, well, he's doing miracles. He's teaching in different ways. He's important. So you can't have these kids around Jesus. He's an important guy. And Jesus said, let the children come forward. And Jesus held them and touched them. And see, even when I say that, or I was putting that together in a PowerPoint slide, you want to make sure that you're phrasing that in the right way so it doesn't sound like that Jesus was doing something inappropriate. And I thought, that is wrong thinking. That is how that we have perverted it so much in our society and world today that even when I write it into a slide, I want to make sure that it sounds appropriate. And Jesus said, I'm going to touch the children. I'm going to love them. In Mark 10:16, Jesus took the children into his arms and he had his hands on them. And you look at that and go, oh, okay, well, what interpretation is that? Jesus had his hands on kids. Because we are so controlled by these things in our society. And it's so powerful. And that is why the enemy wants to work in our culture, in our churches, with people that we love, so that we are always on this guard and saying, you know, I don't know if I can actually even touch this child because I don't want to give off the wrong signal here. It's powerful because a touch will reduce another's stress level. Tests have proven that physical touch will decrease the effects of stress because physical affection stimulates a hormone that will make us feel good. I saw this in an article one time in the USAweekend.com. It says it starts to flow this hormone, which stress is reduced, blood pressure goes down, mood improves, and even pain is more manageable. Through physical touch. That's what comes from this. And a lot of times a hug is almost instinctive in a time of crisis. In crisis, a hug can communicate an immense amount of security for that person. In my line of work as being a pastor for the years that we did, there were situations that I had to go sometimes with law enforcement and tell a stranger, somebody I've never met before, that their loved one has been killed tragically. And to go and knock on somebody's door at 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning and people come and they open the door and they instantly know that something is wrong when they see law enforcement and some guy that they don't even know is there. And what do they first start saying? What happened? What's going on? And you have to tell them, this loved one has passed away. I'm sorry to tell you that, to inform you that. And I have had people that, I mean, I just met them literally 5 seconds before when we opened the door, that have squeezed me so hard, one guy, and crying and just hanging on me, you know, hugging me, that he doesn't know me at all. Not a bit. But it's such an emotional situation that you are just looking for anybody, just, and you've got a spouse that's just laying on the ground, rolling around and crying, and you've got a guy that's just wanting to hug somebody, and he's hugging the law enforcement officers there, and he's hanging on them, and he's crying and screaming because he just needs that. And he doesn't even, like, think about it. He's just grabbing the next person that's just there. And that is the power of that physical touch. Because hugging is an amazing medicine. It transfers energy and gives that person this hug, this emotional boost. I read this one time, and I don't know if this is true or not for those people that this is their love language, but I think they're trying to say it's true for anybody. It's been said that one needs 2 hugs a day for survival, 4 for maintenance, and 8 for growth. Don't know if that's true or not, if you would think that, you know, you'd agree with that. But think about little kids. How many times do they need to be hugged during the day? You know, it's we had our grandson Huxton with us last night because Cassie and Matt, they had a wedding that they went to, and so he stayed with us. And the first thing that he wants to do when he gets up in the morning is that he wants to snuggle with you or sit with you. And it's like he is like a little heater. And it's just like, oh my goodness, it's just hot in here already, and then he's gotta sit right beside me, and I'm like, Grandpa needs some distance, okay? Need to be away from you for a little bit, just even if we had 6 inches here, you know? But he needs that. And that's something that he looks forward to. And going on, there's no words are necessary when our emotions go wild. Sometimes it all that somebody requires, that, especially if this is their love language, is just this loving touch, just to show them that you love them. And that they're loved despite all their failures and problems, that you are actually just going to go and put an arm around them. Because a person whose primary love language is physical touch would rather that you hold them and be silent than give any other advice. There are times when they just need to be held and they don't need for you to fix the problem, tell them what they need to do, what you're planning on doing. You just hold them. When you don't have the words to say, you just reach out and touch. And when somebody, I would say, is so stressed that they can't think rationally, that sometimes it's not the time to touch them. I've experienced that also. Because you will have people that through some information that they got or something that they heard that was very tragic, and you will have family members that are going to go try to give them a hug, and they are just so wild at that point that they have, we've had this happen, push the other person down, and then everybody's like, oh, and that raises the elevation of the emotions at the moment. And it's like, leave them alone right now, because they just need to go around and rant and get this emotion out physically, and so just leave them alone. Don't touch them at this point. And that means that you must respect their feelings. When somebody is angry and you touch them, they may feel like that you're trying to push their buttons. And they have to calm down their brain so they can actually re-engage, and they know what you're trying to say through touching them. And when things are intense, maybe that you actually have to ask them, are you willing to allow me to hug you at this point? Because they are just not in the mood for it. That can happen even on a smaller basis. Because even though that my love language isn't physical touch, when my wife gets mad at me sometimes, and I know she's mad at me, the way I try to break the ice or to try to tell her I'm sorry is to go up behind her and poke her, you know. And I poke her kind of hard, and she's like, I'm not in the mood for it right now. And letting me know that she's still. And so like I wait like maybe 3 seconds and I poke her again. And that isn't what she actually needs at that point. Because that is my way of trying to say, I love you, I'm sorry, so I'm poking you or harassing you in some type of way. And that can actually make it worse, I have found. So a little bit of information for guys there. And so there are times when you just, even though the physical touch may need to be what happens, and how you do it, when you do it, is very important. Going on with it, it's very powerful, this physical touch. If a person has a preference of physical touch, maybe you need to figure out what that is. Because Gary Chapman says this, he says, whatever there is inside or of me resides in my body. And to touch my body is to touch me. To withdraw from my body is to distance yourself from me emotionally. And so people understand that. And this is why it's so powerful, because just a touch, just by touching somebody, a touch communicates the emotion of love, value, acceptance, security, assurance. It can be an apology and compassion and sorrow for another. All that can happen by just going up and putting your hand on somebody's shoulder or giving somebody a hug, all those things. You think about that with the four love languages that we've gone through so far, and how much energy and what you have to do and some planning, and to, if it's acts of service, what you have to do, how you have to plan that. And if you know what dialect their love language is as far as underneath, you know, physical touch, and you can just go alongside them and hug them, how easy that is to do in some ways. And how much that communicates instantly. That is why that it is very powerful when you do this. Because a touch can give respect. A touch can say in so many words, you know, thank you, when you don't have the words to even say it. The words aren't needed. Gary Chapman states in his book that by not touching somebody, as children, it can impede their emotional development. It makes them feel unloved. It makes somebody feel insecure about their marriage relationship. It can indicate something is wrong with the relationship. And as I've talked about, it empties their emotional love tank. And that is why it's so powerful. And just like that we've talked with each one of these love languages, God performs these love languages. God loves us with this physical touch. And you say, well, how does that happen? Well, sometimes that touch may be in some form or shape of this. I don't know what to even call it if you've experienced it. I didn't know how to write it on here. This intense experience or feeling. You just know that you're going through something And God, through whatever mechanism it is, it can be just even you're going through something and you get in the vehicle and you turn on the radio, and the Christian radio station is playing, and that song is exactly what you need to hear at that moment. Isn't that just mind-boggling how that happens sometimes? And I think that is the way that God is trying to reach out and touch you. Do you think that's just by coincidence? And so God reaches out, and it may be a literal physical touch, you know, possibly through other people. I've had people that will say that they are struggling through things and their love language is physical touch. Somebody that they don't even know that that's their love language, may not even know them, will come up to them and say, you know, you look like you need a hug, and give this person a hug. And I always think, well, how bold is that person that offered that? Because you don't know this person. You don't know how they're going to take that. And God chooses to send Jesus into this world as a human baby. If you think about that, when Jesus was born, he needed physical touch. He was God, but he was still human. And if his mother Mary never touched him or loved him, what would have been the result of that? Because he knew that we needed this physical touch, that God knows that we need to feel love. So you've got God that shows this, and he knows this is very powerful. And then you've got Jesus. He showed love through touch to people who weren't loved by other people. Jesus, as we read today, he touched the lepers when there was a huge fear of touching the deformed lepers because they didn't want to catch leprosy themselves. So you would yell at these people when they, you know, had leprosy from a distance, and you would cover your face and say, unclean, unclean. That person's unclean. So these people that were lepers, they couldn't be around people at all unless they were other lepers. But you put that in the context of a family, that you have a family that you love and that you've been raised by, and you maybe have a spouse or children, and then one day you come down with leprosy and you can't ever see them again. And they don't even want to be around you because it was such a feared disease. And there was no cure for it. There's no circle, circle, dot, dot for that. I mean, you were stuck with leprosy. And, of course, you know that what the results of that is that you're deformed and you have parts of your body that start to just rot and fall off. It was a very, if you want to call it, nasty disease. And so the people did not want to be around the individuals that had leprosy. And Jesus was somebody, he said, I'll touch the lepers. And by touching them, Jesus made a statement to the people that were watching this, that these people, even though that they were outcast, they need to be loved. Even though that they are outcast, they need to be loved. We would have kids that would come down to our adventure club, and unfortunately, they were covered with lice and scabies. And I had never seen this before until one of our kids. This girl had even body louse on her. Like, I've never seen that before. It was like they're like humongous lice bugs that were crawling around on the inside of her shirt and through her neck and everything else that she had, like the size of a ant, you know, a small ant. And she, because I knew that she was sitting down there and she was absolutely just scratching that night. And so when we got done, I took her aside and I said, is something bugging you or something? And she's like, I got bugs on me. And so what do you do in a situation like that? Because you got other parents that don't want their kids to come down there and be exposed to that. And they have scabies and everything else. But you want to tell this child that you still love them, that it's not their fault because of the environment. And that girl, I don't know what she was, 7 years old, that, you know, probably, if I remember right. And you're still trying to say to that child, I love you. Because if other people know about this, you know, people just absolutely shun them. I don't want to get lice. And I don't blame them. Who wants to, you know, have lice that you're, you know, from these kids? But at that point, I don't even worry about that. Of course, you know, if I get lice, they're not going to have too much of a condo, you know, in my head anymore. They're like going to show up with their bags and go, nope, I'm out of here. We're leaving. So I not too much, unless it's like my ear hairs, you know, that have started to grow since I got older. You know, these older guys, I didn't understand it, but your eyebrows start to like where they grow hair where you can braid them, your ears, I don't know. That's a whole nother thing. But I just don't even worry about it at the time, because at that moment, if you start to think about that, then you're going to make that child feel like that they're not loved, that there's something wrong with them. And so we have dealt with lice. We have dealt with those situations. And on a very small scale, that's a lot of what Jesus was doing here with people with leprosy. Because if you think about this, and they don't ever really talk about this in commentaries, I've tried to really look this up. Jesus could have healed the lepers in any way that he wanted to. I mean, I've always thought about that. He could have just healed them from 100 yards away, couldn't he have? I mean, he was God. He could have just taken care of that and said, oh, that guy over there, yeah, he's got leprosy. Oh, man, that's just really rank. That guy stinks. His body's rotten. Parts are falling. I'll just take care of it from here. That's not the way that Jesus handled it, did he? He was face to face with these people. He sought them out. He talked with them. He accepted them. People in the crowd were watching this, and they're standing back going, I can't be around him. That guy's gross. And Jesus said, I'll touch him. I'll be around them. You talk about dealing with people that are homeless, and we have dealt with people that are homeless, people that haven't been homeless but have some mental issues, and their body hygiene. And I, like one individual, I had to drive him 80 miles to a hospital, and it was in the summertime, and it was so bad. I have a high tolerance for anything gross. It's just the way that I am. And I tried to run the air conditioning with him being in the vehicle beside me, and on the way there, I tried to roll the windows down, and it was just like, you know, when somebody smells so bad that you just taste it. And it's just what you have to do at the moment. And Jesus did this by showing people, I love you. Because the passage that we had read to us today in Matthew 8, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. It was important. And scripture tells us that Jesus' heart was filled with compassion for people because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It says this in Matthew 9:36. And he showed them with one thing, and that was what it says in scripture, a touch. Mark 3:10. Going on, it's interesting that the early church disciples physically touched each other. Romans 16:16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Scripture speaks about that. I don't know if you've ever been around any individuals or men from Europe, and mainly Northern Europe, and how they greet each other. Has anybody been around that before? We had a guy that I went to a Bible college with, and his name was Oscar, and he was from the Netherlands, but then he moved to Germany. And when he greeted you, you know how he would greet you? He would give you a kiss. He would give you a hug, and that's what they do in their culture, and then he would kiss you on the cheek. He had kind of tamed it down in our culture to just putting his cheek on your cheek. Now, you can imagine, I am not a person who is into physical touch. That's just okay. And then our culture and everything, and then I would see Oscar, and he wouldn't do this every time you saw him, but if it was for a long period that you haven't saw him, and he was excited, and he was a big guy too, and he had a beard, and I would see him and think, oh no. Ugh. I would be looking for a place to hide from Oscar when he would be coming, and he would come up there, grab me, give me a big hug and a kiss with his beard on my face. And I would just be like, oh, got cooties from him. And I just had to realize that this is who Oscar was. And this was his culture. And this was him showing that he cared about you. And he was excited to see you. And he loved you. And so I would take it like when my grandmother would try to give us hugs when we were little kids. I would just see it and I would just prepare myself mentally, like, I'm a grown man. I can handle this. I can take this. Go ahead and kiss me. Put your beard on my face. It's scratchy. And so even in the Old Testament, you had these individuals who were doing that. We don't do that in our culture today. Early believers, they continued the serving and touching ministry of Jesus. And God made it one of the really foundational acts of the New Testament church, because if you read, there are so many scriptures on laying on hands on somebody else. And this was for healing, prayer, encouragement, ordination. You can see this in 1 Timothy. You see it in Acts. See it, you know, again, 1 Timothy. These are just some of them. There's more here. Talks about laying hands on other people in the church. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but even though that I'm not a physical touch person, I have been in situations in my life, and I've had men that have came along, and we had men on our elder board and our deacon board that prayed for me and just touched me, just put their hands on my back and my shoulder. And I had like 6-8 guys touching me at one time, praying for me. And I don't even know how to explain the feeling of that. It is just something that is just absolutely supernatural. That I have felt like that it is just like a, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like cool water going through my veins, like through my body. Like, I've never taken a pain pill that has made me ever feel like that before. And that is totally through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to fall into that camp of Christianity of the healing and some of these things that, but there is something there, because I have experienced it, that just comes over you, that your body is just receptive to that when somebody is touching you and praying for you in that way. And it's a powerful thing. And the early church understood that. So going on then with these questions, well, how do I start if it's not my natural language, but it's my spouse's love language, you know, of physical touch? If your spouse's love language is touching, Gary Chapman said this. He says, use your imagination to look for ways to express your love. And so you have to learn that dialect. And maybe that's rubbing your spouse's back. Or maybe that's just sitting right beside them. Or maybe that's holding hands. Whatever that is that you're physically touching that person. And then this is the big one that I've wrestled with myself, that I said, that how do we express love and friendship through physical touch to others outside our immediate family and close circle of friends without being misrepresented or crossing some personal boundaries? And there is no easy answer for this one. I wish there was, because physical touch to others must be done, I would say, with wisdom and discernment and common sense. It just has to be. And I can't cover everything in that. Of course, we understand that there are certain individuals that you're going to feel more comfortable with and other people not. And it's a mutual expression, not, I would say, an intrusion or an imposition by one on another person. You know, as I mentioned with our friend that's, you know, the big burly guy that he goes around and he gives people hugs. And Don can do it in such a way that people, they don't take offense at it. They just don't. I mean, nobody feels, I have ever known that felt uncomfortable with Don giving them a hug, because he's consistent in it. It's just who he is. And people know that. And I think that even strangers will know that. I have seen him give other men that we have just met 5 minutes before hugs. And I'm just like, and here I go starting to feel, I'm like, Don's going to give him a hug. He's going to give this guy a hug when we get done with the conversation. I'm like, here it comes. And then I'm always like I'm starting to get nervous for the other guy. And then when Don's giving them a hug, and you can kind of tell their brains kind of register it. And then they went and hugged him back. I'm like, we're good. I don't know. It's like, why am I worried about it so much? Because he's not worried about it. And I feel for the other person because I guess maybe that I know being on the other side of that when physical touch is not who you are and somebody does that, there's that awkward moment. We had an older lady in our church and she would always tell me on Sunday morning, get over here, I need my hug. You're going to give me a hug. And I felt like the same way with Oscar and my grandma. I'd be like, it's so awkward. It's weird. I have a hard time doing that. It, like I said, when we had the kids at Adventure Club, it came so natural to me. I wish I could do that with more adults and people. The kids, I could do that so easy with, you know, because it's just so innocent and you know that they need it so much and you know how powerful it is. But other people, and I have known that I need to give men hugs. And, you know, what we do as men, it's just so, you know, I'll go up there and it's like, I give them a hug and you don't know how to do all that. And so I just go up there and I just like punch them, you know, just hit a guy in the shoulder. And we don't really, I mean, and you got to make it count. So you got to kind of give them a little bit of whack there. And it's like, and how do they receive that? I don't know. But for some guys, that's what they need, even at that moment, is that even physical touch like that, of just even a punch. So I would say don't allow your fears to keep you from showing that you love somebody, but you got to do it the right way. And I would say, I've learned this myself, to be careful but not paranoid. I just hate that we're so paranoid in our culture and our world today. And, you know, there's other cultures that are not as paranoid as us because we have friends from Malaysia. We have people from the Middle East that we're friends with that we went to Bible school with. And they are not as paranoid as we are in our Western culture about giving hugs and touching each other and all that. Because they are trying to show you, and they understand it from their language, in their culture, this is how you do that. I've been asked this before. What about teenagers who their primary love language is physical touch? And I will say, especially young teenage boys, but they draw back from any type of affection. And I will say this from kids that I have dealt with, don't give up. Even though that you feel like that this in their life that they just don't need this anymore, it doesn't mean that they have no desire for touch. They want you to express in a way that's, I don't know, cool. And you must learn sometimes a new dialect with kids. Because like I said, I have had these boys that when we did Adventure Club, I mean, and we did it for so long that these kids were sometimes 6 or 8 when they started. And then we were still in COSAD 20 years later. They're like 27 years old right now. I mean, they're not coming to Adventure Club anymore, but I see them on the street and I talk to them and stuff. And I still know when I see them that this, and when I see him, he's still a 6-year-old in my mind, even though he's a big 28-year-old man now. I still know that he needs a hug because every Wednesday night I gave this guy a hug for 6 or 8 years. And so what do? Even though that, you know, like when, especially when they're teenagers, it's the old give them a punch. Or I know women are not going to understand this. Sometimes I just like elbow them, walk by them and just really just like knock them off their feet, you know, off to the side or something. Something like that, to do some type of physical touch like that. And I've said that to women before, and we've done this before, and I've had women look at me. I had one woman say to me, I just don't understand men. I don't get them. Yeah, you don't. But sometimes men do that, and they need that. And women, the other side of that is, I'm sorry that we do that kind of stuff to you. Like, I've got friends that will do that to their wives even today. They've been married for 30 years, you know, and they will come alongside them and like WWF, and like, you know, and they're like, what are you doing? And they're like, I don't know. I'm trying to say that I love you. I'm like, that you hurt me. Sorry with that. That's why like little boys will throw rocks at girls that they like, you know. Huxton, he's not even 3 yet. We took him, he was at the wedding last night, and there was a girl there, and I think he wanted to play with her and liked her. And so he started throwing gravel at her. And then he went over and he pulled her dress back in the back and he dumped sand down her back. And I wanted to tell her and she was like, what? And her dad was like, hey, that kid. And I was like, He likes her. He's trying to be nice. I'm sorry. Because I was just throwing rocks at Stacy an hour before that, you know, and we were getting along last night, and I picked up a rock and threw her, and she's like, stop! I like you. So she looked nice. She was all dressed up last night, so I was going to throw rocks at her. So it's just that we are the way that we are. And as I said, for sometimes for boys, it can just be that physical touch. I would say for girls, don't do that, okay? Girls, they need just the appropriate hugs and just kind of more of a friendly physical contact. But you have to actually know the girls, because there was one girl that we had that was kind of a tomboy that we had, and she got older, and this girl, she came from a really rough home and just things that were going on. So actually, instead of leaving Adventure Club, she actually kept coming back, and we put her as a leader. But she was one of these girls that I would do that to. I would kind of give her like an elbow or I would give her a punch on the shoulder, not real hard, but, you know, and she received that because I knew that that was the way that she was. And so, as I said, this is why this has become kind of confusing with the physical touch, because there's so many different dialects. What about my spouse who speaks this language is not welcoming some type of physical touch? And I will say this, when physical touch is not accompanied by respect, it's offensive. A person who is disrespected will build a wall and they will try to keep you out. You can't tell somebody something that's very demeaning to them and say that to them. Are you stupid? You can't make that right. You burnt dinner, and then go up and expect that you're going to physically touch them and they're going to respond to that. It's just not going to happen. If you're disrespecting somebody continually, and then you decide that I'm going to show them I love them, now by doing this physical touch, or you do it for other means that you have something else in mind, a different motive, then you're not going to get anything from that. Not going to have any type of response. It's going to be negative. Because it's important to learn how your mate speaks the physical touch language. And some touches, as I said before, I'm guilty of this, are irritating and uncomfortable to your mate. And to insist on continuing those touches is communicating the opposite of love. And that means that you're going to learn the touches that your mate likes and study how your mate responds to touch. Because sometimes physical touch is not welcome between a couple because of the emotional part. And that must come first. And sometimes that has to be healed because of things that have happened in the past to be appreciated. So as we close today, many spouses feel the most loved, of course, when they receive this physical contact from their partner. And for a mate who speaks this love language loudly, physical touch can make or break the relationship. It really can. That's why it is so important. It is so powerful, as we've established, and it can do so much in the relationship. And it can speak 10 times louder than any words that you may use. Just that physical touch, just that one touch or that one hug that you will give to that person speaks so much. That is why that with especially teenagers, I haven't known what to say. I don't know how to deal with them. And so I will come alongside of them and I will just put a shoulder, you know, my arm on their shoulder and just pull them towards me, and that's it. And that's all I do. I don't say anything. I don't get into why that they're upset or mad or anything, and that is it. Because the words that you add to sometimes those situations, as I said, are nothing going to be more than just an irritation. And all they need at that point is a physical touch. So this is the assignment. The last one I leave you with is this. God uses ordinary people for channels of his love. And so the assignment is to let God touch someone through you. This little picture that I found up here, you know, this entitles you to one hug. That you are just looking for somebody that you can just show some type of just acceptance and this physical touch to. I saw last night with Huxton, he's three, and it's like he's running around. He's, you know, not even quite three, and he's just wild. And there was some of Matt's family that came up to him, and they just put out their hand, these guys, these older guys, and like, to give me five. And just doing that, you know, he would go up there and run up there and give them five. Or he would punch their hand or whatever, you know, he's got to take it to the extreme. But in that, he knew that these individuals were recognizing him. And it was a form of physical touch. They didn't come up and, you know, give him a hug, or they didn't pat him on the back, or they didn't do any of these things. But that was the way that they did. And then Huxon puts out his hand and they whack it back, you know. And as I was thinking last night, I was sitting there watching that. That is the physical touch. Even though that those guys that are doing that probably don't even realize that they're doing it, they're showing that I am making you a priority. I'm accepting you. I see you. I recognize you. And that can even be done with just a slap of the hand. Isn't that something that even just a touch of the hand like that can do so much? Even in our culture, while we're kind of different, as I said, than other cultures, we don't give the hugs and the kisses and stuff like the guys, but even that handshake. Or you've shaking a guy's hand and you bring the other hand in there and kind of slap it, or whatever it is. And in that, you're showing that individual, I'm accepting you. And it can happen even through that. It's just a handshake. So how can I show somebody else that I'm accepting them, I approve of them, I even love them, by showing them physical touch? Let's close the word of prayer, Lord. As we went through these five love languages, Lord, I'm always just taken back, impressed. I don't know what the word is, Lord, to say that you are the author of all these love languages, that you show them to us through different means. And we know that that is true because Jesus showed all of these five love languages to the people that he interacted with, all of them. And not only did he show them, he was showing them in a way for them to model them to other people. And so, Lord, as being your disciples, as being the followers of Jesus, I pray that we recognize how powerful these love languages are, that they are not inspired by Gary Chapman and his book, but they come from your word, and they come from the modeling and the love that Jesus showed other people. And so, Lord, I pray that we would realize how powerful that they are, but then I pray that we would show them to other people. And while we talk about us having a love language, we know that your word has said over and over again that we need to be showing these love languages to all people in different ways all the time. Whether that is those that are closest to us, whether that's our spouse or our children or our grandchildren. But Lord, we need to be doing that even with people that you're wanting us to show your love to, because maybe they've never experienced that in their whole entire life. And by us doing one of these love languages to show that to somebody, that they're first seeing the love of Jesus in their life. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be able to kind of put these in our toolbox, so to speak, of things to use with people, be aware of them, and once again, know how powerful they are in touching the lives of other people. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.